try and send out the recording as well, but this is what I prepared to say, and it's a lesson called Teenage Digital Dangers. It's one I've done in the past, many years ago, from a series called He Seeks Godly Offspring. And the Malachi 2:15 passage was kind of the theme passage for the series, to recognize that God desires ultimately that our children become His children. He seeks godly offspring. And He has given us all the tools necessary for that to take place. In whatever time period we might find ourselves living in whatever circumstance, He's given us the tools necessary. And it's just important for us, as parents especially, to be walking circumspectly, which means wisely, eyes wide open to the dangers that are in our world. And He goes on to say in that passage, walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, because we only have a short time really with our children if you think about it. Someone calculated 6,570 days. That's what you got with your children before they're gone on their own. They're having their own life, their own family, doing their own things. 6,570 days. Not much time with them at all. And so we have to be aware of the time we have and also of the dangers that take place and prepare them best for the life that is to come, that will be their own, on their own, and that it may be one that will be fruitful in the service of God. So we're going to talk about digital dangers that may become these pitfalls that they may fall into. Now, a little background about myself. A lot of you all know this about me. But I have a background in computers and computer science, computer software systems. That was what my studies was at the University of Washington, my academics. And before that, even in high school, I was very involved in computers. In fact, at our high school, I helped install the very first networks in my school district, and going from school to school, running the wires, running the lines, the drops, so that they can connect their computers. This is before Wi-Fi, right? You had to plug in the computer into a particular drop that it might be connected with servers and hubs. And so I got involved in technology in that way by getting accepted into classes that revolved around computers. I was just fascinated by them, the technology. It was something. And my degree was the perfect degree for Washington State. It is like Silicon Valley in the sense it's very high tech. You have the headquarters of Amazon, Microsoft, Expedia, Nintendo. All of that is there. They have headquarters, extension offices for Facebook, Google, all those tech companies. They were there, and so my degree would have been suited for that area. In fact, I even interviewed with Microsoft and considered taking a job there before I stopped the interview process and said, I think I'm going to go into preaching instead. And so I've always been fascinated and enjoy technology. But I've also come to realize that what is often could be harnessed for good, wicked men come along and harness for evil. And we should not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so that is kind of the reason for this lesson. We live in a digital age, and it's important for us to recognize that that is not going away. It is not going away. And so while technology has changed, we have to recognize that temptation has not. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, how can the words of this wise man be true? If you think about all the great things that have come along since he said these words. Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, there verse 9 and verse 10. The wise man says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. So he's not talking about technology, obviously, but he's talking about life in which we live and the way in which we're going to have to navigate that life. that ultimately man will be tempted by the same temptations. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The devil hasn't changed his tactics. It's just the technology that sometimes changes in which to introduce those tactics to us. So ultimately, life is the same. People make choices. Choices based upon the circumstances that befall them and come before them. And then they have to then face the outcome of those choices. There is nothing new under the sun. Temptation, we might say, just takes a different form. Sexual temptations and dangerous predators have always been, and they just have new ways in which to lurk. But recognize James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." Nothing has changed in regards to that since it was written, and even before then, since the Garden of Eden. The reality is, like I said, is just that the mechanisms in which these temptations are delivered may have been updated or changed by technology. And it is sad to think that you have predators or strangers that can get access to your kid without opening a window or opening your door. They can be securely locked, all of those things, and yet they can be inside with them today, this very day, right in their bedroom, all bought by new technology. Now, as you step back in time with me, the technology that I was introduced to was new for a lot of older folks, but became part of the norm, right? And you think about some of the tech and that we had in the 1980s, for example, my era. You had the Walkman and the Discman, you know, where you could listen to cassette tape or a CD. You had the Nintendo. You know, the games in those days were 8-bit, 16-bit characters, right? They didn't do explicit images or various kinds of things or say cuss words. It was more of an innocence around it and surrounding the fun that was in those particular games and those first arcade games that we were introduced to. You had heavy, expensive computers, right? No family had multiple computers. Not where every single kid in the house had their own computer. No, you couldn't afford that. Right, and they were big and bulky, and so they were usually there in the family room or the dining room. You know, there was no private access to the internet or the computers, which now, of course, has all been taken away. Right, you've got the laptops, very small devices they brought into the room. Again, the network and all of that, the internet was new in those times. The World Wide Web. Remember, you type in www.navigator.com, right? Netscape Navigator was kind of like the Google search of the day. And it was just interesting because it was like now you had access to all this library of information, right? But it wasn't long before wicked men came and harnessed it for internet pornography. Now, this is a lengthy lesson that I'm going to have to split in half, and so we're going to cover more of that later tonight. But again, I mentioned the Nintendo, cordless phones, you know, were also new. I mean, because again, the olden days, you had the rotary dial. Even before that, you know, just pick up and talk to the switchboard operator. I mean, so things had really changed in the 80s. Cordless phones. And then eventually, closer to the 90s, you had the cell phone being introduced. It was not a smartphone. It was just used to communicate with people while you're mobile. Now, kids might not remember this, but text, you used to have to pay for each text. You know why they say unlimited talk and text today? You might be wondering, why do they say unlimited? Of course, it's always been unlimited to you, right? But it wasn't in the past, you know? You had a certain amount of limitations, and you'd pay if you went over the minutes, and you certainly paid per text. I believe it was 25 cents per text. Now it's all changed. It's all different, right? Well, you notice about a lot of these things, they each had an individual function. They each did their one thing, the thing they were designed to do. And I think by having that barriers and breakdowns, it kept those things more functional and more innocent. But in time comes the smartphone, which does it all, It did it all, right? And in 2007, isn't it hard to believe? That's when the first iPhone came into existence. And smartphones are very commonplace in the house today. Now, here's what's interesting. When I first made this lesson, I said today for the first time over 50% of homes have smartphones. And so I restudied this, and now the 2025 update is 90 to 91%, okay? So in the short amount of a number of years since I made this material, it has almost doubled. And so everybody, all the homes have smartphones today. And those smartphones are ultimately computers for the hand. You can do almost anything with it. And like I said, there's good things you can do with it, like I'm doing right now, projecting the screen. I used to carry my big laptop in and use it that way. A lot of preachers still use it that way. I find this a lot more convenient because it's just like a computer for your hand. The truth is, though, if smartphones can do most anything that a computer can do, then they are small enough to be taken everywhere. And families that may have grown up saying, no, you can't take a computer to your bedroom, don't realize that that's a lot of what their kids are doing with the smartphone. It is a computer within the bedroom. And it's often given full access to all the house by the parents. Now, if you stop and think about it from the surface level, that really shouldn't make sense, right? Because we take lots of protections for our families to make sure that they're safe from danger. I mean, think about it, right? Car seats. Why do we use them? Not only is it because it's part of the law of the land, but because we do want to make sure our child is safe. If we get in an accident, you can't rely upon your hand just holding them. It's going to lose grip. They're going to be accidented out the window, right? So we take these protections. We put them in these little uncomfortable car seats because we care for them. We love them. We don't want them to get hurt. Why do we have locks on our doors, right? Security systems. Because again, we're trying to protect the home from danger. We know danger lurks out there, and that could take place. Why do we like to have safe vehicles? We research our vehicle before we buy it on Consumer Reports, right? We want to make sure that it's passed safety measures and qualifications so that we put our family in it and drive from one place to the next. Why do we seek to have safe homes, right? We don't want asbestos in our homes. We don't want, lead poisoning to take place in our pipes because we care for our family and their safety, right? So do we not really then see any safeguards for the family in regards to technology? There is a great danger before our family in it. And if we recognize the need to keep the body safe and all those mechanisms I mentioned, then why not to keep the mind and the soul safe as well? And yet I speak to you, and the reality is that most families, and I'm even speaking of Christian families, have no safe measures or guardrails for their technology in their homes. That's just the reality. You might say, well, what can some of those be? Well, I might say age limit could be one of those. I mean, there's a reason why we say that, there's an age limit for an individual to drive, right? Because a minor just doesn't possess the wisdom, the skill, the know-how of certain things, right? Why there's an age limit for one can lawfully be married legally, right? Again, they don't possess the wisdom, the know-how, the abilities to take care of a family or a spouse at certain times. And so we recognize age sometimes is this limit that could be beneficial. I don't agree with, obviously, drinking and smoking, but even the world has placed age limits on some of those things as well, recognizing that one needs to be able to cognitively determine that, hey, this is going to contribute to the neglect of my health and the damage of my body. Right? And so why would we think it any different when it comes to saying, hey, I just think my kids shouldn't have a smartphone device at a certain age, right? To say this is what the limit is going to be for our family because they don't possess certain abilities. I know they think they do, but they just don't. And we recognize it when it comes to other areas of society and life. Now, parts of this lesson I gained from a brother in Christ who is also a police officer. And you might even recognize our local police, Dale Adams. Dale has been a police officer in Franklin for about 20 years now, two decades, and has done a great good service to this community. But he's also a brother in Christ who worships at a Sound congregation in the Bowling Green area. And he did a lesson, and I really enjoyed listening to it because it was from the perspective of someone in law enforcement that have seen the outcomes of parents that didn't take the digital dangers seriously, and they had to reap then the consequences of it. I like what Dale said here. He said, think twice and set up a plan before you give it to a teen. He's speaking about a smartphone, right? Not saying you can't have them, but you had better have a plan. How and when it can be used and what kind of access. If it is all unlimited, I believe you will have some trouble in the years to come. He's speaking from experience. And the phone calls that he has to answer and the house visits that he has to make. So the law enforcement often gets to see the dark side of these things that we often don't hear about. So I'm going to share some of that with you. But turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 and verse 9. We have to remember that we are at war and that the battle is serious. And that souls are at stake. Yes, eternal destiny. I know sometimes people think I'm just too serious all the time. But this is serious. And God says you better be serious about it. In 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, he says, be sober. What's that? Be serious. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's never stopping that work. How do we resist him? Verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. That's how we're going to resist him. We're going to make our faith firm and steadfast in doing what is right and dedicated and committed to what is right. So again, the threats are real. Yes, the faces do change, the apps do change, but temptation is the same. Just may have new outlets, new mediums to get into our homes. And so the first part of this lesson is designed to talk about the app store, in essence, the very apps that individuals can put on their phones. Now, when I first wrote this lesson, I had to describe what is an app, because I knew there's a lot of older folks that didn't know what an apps were. I don't think we have to do that anymore. I think everybody understands what an app is and how you can get an app on your phone. Now, I may be mistaken, and if there's someone here that doesn't know what I'm talking about, then just talk to me after services, and I'll be happy to explain that to you. But parents need to be aware of some of these current dangers. Like I said, there are some good apps, right? There's productivity apps. There's Bible apps. There's even what I'm using right here to be able to project to the screen. There's all kinds of really neat technology that is safe and that is good, or we might even say neutral on the surface. But we have to recognize that there are also bad apps. And Romans chapter 1, verse 30, again, talks about, this was true in Paul's day, it's true in our day as well. Notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 30, where he speaks about this evil and ungodly world. And he says they're backbiters, they're haters of God, they're violent, they're proud, boasters. Now listen to this. This is what I was talking about. They are inventors of evil things. And so it's not a surprise, as it was true in Paul's day, that there are in our day people that invent things that will be made used for evil. And then he says next, disobedient to parents. He's connected those two. Much like we're going to do in this lesson as well. Parents need to be aware of these dangers, set the boundary lines, and then expect and enforce their children to be obedient. Parents need to parent. Austin. Parents need to parent. Children need to obey. But parents have to be aware of these evil inventions. The access to potential danger. Children don't always see that. It's not apparent to them. The risks, not obvious to them. Children are not wired to spot red flags the way parents are. And so they're going to think you're overprotective. Oh, you're out of date. You're a Luddite. So should you just trust your children? That's what they want. My answer is no. Why? Because we were once children. We know what that's like. And our parents shouldn't have trusted us either. See, trust is earned. And it's earned through character development. As you see that character develop in the way it ought to be, then trust begins to come and to flow. It's not just granted because you're a child. Right? Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it, Proverbs 22 says. And so this is very serious. It's very important. And we need to take it in that way. So let's talk about some of these apps. One of the apps that Dale Adams first mentioned, he says that law enforcement hates, is Snapchat. He says it is one of the worst, and we get the most calls about often of things that have taken place. You see, it is the app, its concept is that pictures and messages are there for a few seconds, about 10 seconds, and then they disappear. And so your parents can't pull it up and see what you've been talking about. It's very hard for law enforcement to be able to pin the crime on the evidence on something that has disappeared, right? It also can reveal your kid's location to a predator with the Snap Map. And it's easy to hide the conversations. And so clearly there's a digital danger that is there. What kids don't understand sometimes is that picture that they might send that they think is going to disappear can be screenshotted. One can use another camera and take a picture of the picture itself, and they can then keep that picture. Sadly, some kids will send explicit pictures. They think it'll disappear, but it's been screen captured. And then it can be uploaded to Instagram or Facebook or some kind of social media, and all of a sudden, everybody in the community can know about it and see about it. And Dale says, son's parents call him and they're scared to death. What do we do? What do we do? And he says, I want to say to them, well, who gave him that phone? Who gave him the access that you let them have? Right? Dale said that sometimes those photos are used for blackmail. Let's say a boy likes a girl. And he gets a hold of one of her naked pictures. She thinks it's going to disappear, but he has a hold of it now. He's got the snapshot of it. And then he could use it as blackmail, saying, if you don't meet up with me, have sex with me, then I'm going to send this photo to the whole school. And he feels like he has her now. Young folks, if that ever happens to you, it's best to just confess it. Because Dale says what often happens is that the girl might go on to do that, to sleep with the boy, and the boy sends the picture out anyway. You can't trust someone like that. They're willing to blackmail you. You can't trust them at all. They're obviously not a moral person. If he can blackmail you, he can lie to you. So again, I pray this never happens to any of our young folks, but it shows how it's so easy to get into so much trouble so quickly. It's not even funny. Instagram is a platform which you can share photos. Your teen's location, again, can be visible to strangers easily. Often kids use it to follow supermodels and other famous people of the world that are just usually immoral and downright evil in their lives and what they seek to promote. And yet your kids can follow them and learn all about them and be impressed by the lives that they live. Now again, I'm not condemning Instagram per se. I know that you might say there's a good side exists where people can share photos about their family and some of their life experiences. But we have to recognize that there is inherent dangers that are connected to these. In fact, a lot of the developers behind it, the tech leaders don't allow their kids to use it. And they're the ones that know the system best. I've watched those interviews as well. They'll ask them, they'll talk about the dangers, say, yes, we recognize that they're there. Question, do you let your kids use it? No, we don't. Isn't that telling? Facebook's own research was leaked a few years ago. And their research revealed that they found that, and they own Instagram, that it worsened body image among young girls, and they recognized it contributed to suicidal thoughts. That was their own research about their own platform. Versus the Bible. Why is it that they do that? Because it's comparison culture. They think, well, I don't look like that, and all of a sudden I feel very bad about myself. And I know we laugh at that, and yet those thoughts get put in little by little, picture by picture, flip and stroke by stroke. And yet, compared to Proverbs 31, look here. What does the Bible say? Here's God's message to us. Here's God's message to our young people. In Proverbs 31 and verse 30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That's the kind of affirmation, that's the kind of likes that we ought to be going for, is God's approval. And it will shine among those that also love God as well. There in 31 verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. And so it's not who can find an Instagram model, right? It's a virtuous wife. This is the one that's truly valuable in the sight of God. That's the message that needs to be getting out to our youth. But often with these apps, it's the opposite message. It's that charm is everything. Beauty is everything. When God said it was deceitful, it's not the thing that we should be looking for in somebody else. Another app is called Kick. You see it there on the screen. It's a highly sexualized, inappropriate content app, Dale said. They exchange videos and pictures. It has no parental controls, and predators use it because they don't have to be authenticated. And so he said it's been linked to grooming cases where minors are lured in little by little. And his text messages are not logged as well. And so parents need to keep trying to check the phones, make sure, are these apps being used? He said sometimes these apps are used for pornography more than the actual dedicated pornography sites. And he says that about a number of these apps as well. Meet Me or Omegle are havens for sexual predators and drug users as well. He says you're chatting ultimately with strangers. There's no moderation to it. Explicit content in seconds often comes to the individual that uses it. No filters. Again, these are ones that just should be deleted from your children's smartphones if they seem to have them on there. Another one, secret or whisper. This is where they share secrets anonymously. And people do that with other kids at school and it becomes cyberbullying. Whisper lets you chat with others in your geographic area. So they, again, if it's a predator, they know your kid is nearby. Yik Yak. That lets you chat with users in a 5-mile radius. How is that? How would you like some stranger in a 5-mile radius to know that your kid is within 5 miles of them? Telegram's another one, encrypted chats that no one can see. So predators feel very safe, and kids join channels with adult material. You know, I was saying with one of my kids the other day that, you know, things have changed a lot. You know, yes, we adults text, there's no doubt about it. But when you look at the numbers of kids texting, it is amazing. It's mind-boggling. They found the age group of 18 to 24 texts 128 times a day. That's a lot, 18 to 24. But it's nothing compared to the age group of 13 to 18. They found those texts 200 to 300 times a day. So a lot of 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds are given smartphones, and that's how they learn to communicate. That's what they do, spend their time texting all the time. And so then they eventually find, oh, if we find these other apps, we can do so anonymously. We can do so without our parents checking or knowing what we're talking about or saying. And so parents, you need to be aware of these things. Secret vaults. You see that calculator up there in the corner. It's not really just a calculator. Now, it looks like a calculator. It works like a calculator. But if you put in the right combination of keystrokes, it opens up a secret vault where kids can hide pictures, internet websites, and videos, all secretly. And so if your kid's phone has more than one calculator, you know what's going on. It comes with a calculator. The phone itself comes with a calculator. But if it has more than one, that's what's taking place. inventors of evil things. We need to be reminded ourselves and our kids that there's no secrets with God. All things are open to the eyes and we must give an account. They will come to light one day. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews the 4th chapter. Verse 12 and verse 13. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's Word gets into us, into our heart, and begins to assess, are we living accordingly? And he says, verse 13, now recognize there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says, Psalm 139, verse 1, this is a psalm of David. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Drop down to verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, right, that I'll find cover and hidden, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. So you can have a secret vault calculator, but God knows it. It's like it's the daylight to him. It's as if there's no vault at all. He sees it all. He knows it all. And we must give an account, it says, one day. Other apps you need to be aware of. Tinder is, or Yubo for teens. It's a dating app, in essence. You think someone's attractive, you flag them. If they see that you're attractive and they like you, then you can contact and connect to each other. That would be danger. Christians shouldn't find dates this way. It's worldly. It's risky, right? And it's the antithesis of Proverbs 31, right? The charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. You shouldn't be there. That's what this is about. It's you're like looking at the picture. Do I like them or not? That's what you're doing. And yet, you do hear of sometimes Christians meet other individuals this way. Not other Christians, that they'll meet people in the world this way to date. Character AI. This is a new one. This is an update for this lesson here. You know, I am, and you can ask my family, I'm fascinated by AI. I think it's kind of like the internet was to me when I was in high school. There's this new expanse that has so much potential for so much good. And I see also that cusp, that beginning with AI as well. And yet, just like the internet, there's going to be people who will harness it for evil. That's going to take place. And now there's this app called Character AI, where AI becomes, in essence, their friend, their companion, and begins to blur the boundaries because it is becoming so human-like. And they can begin to do and talk about inappropriate things with the person and create an emotional dependency with the person. Julie was saying the other day, she heard about someone that was marrying their AI agent. You know, I mean, it's mind-blowing, but that's where some of this can go. But even if they don't marry it, they begin to create this bond with something that is not human. Can you not see how that could be a danger to our children and us alike? And of course, TikTok, it's not on there, but I've put it on there. Video-based social media, it's most popular, for sure. It's the world's most downloaded app in iPhone. This is it, the world's most downloaded app. Users often post scantily clad videos, dancing, sexually suggestive content, sometimes even pornography. Sexual predators often use it and send messages to teens without reprisal. You know, this app is banned in a few countries: Nepal, Afghanistan, India. The United States is also considering perhaps a ban. It is currently right now banned from any government devices. And so this is a danger that it can become. Again, we have to recognize this. We got to do the research. Now, kids at school, here's the thing, is that our kids go to school with other kids, and their parents have allowed these things because their parents are worldly. And those kids have these apps, and they want your kids to have the apps as well. We need reminder that as Christians, we are not like the world. We are set apart, the scripture says. We are separate. Can you see how the word set apart has this connotation of separate? We're different. We're not like you. We're going to be weird compared to them. That's what they're going to think we are. This is exactly what God has called us to be. Look in Psalm 4 and verse 3. This is the life we signed up for as a Christian. This is the life that gets to eternal life. And Psalm 4, there, verse 3, the psalmist says, "But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. And the Lord will hear when I call to him." If we want God to hear our prayers, then we need to be set apart to him and for him. Because this is what God has called us to be. In 2 Corinthians, you see the same concept there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we looked at last week this verses here about God showing that we're not in one accord or agreement or communion or fellowship with that which is evil. And he talks about how we need to be separate from it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, he says, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." Be separate. Knowing that, chapter 7, verse 1, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And so, friends, this is not a game. He says you're going to be different from others. You're going to be set apart from others. You're not going to conform to this world, but rather be transformed. That's Romans 12. And verse 2. And so we have to then fight against that pressure from our peers. So what does this mean in regards to parenting? Well, parents, first and foremost, don't let the world dictate your parenting. Don't feel your kids have to have it because they say they want it and they need it. Sometimes they even say, "Well, I can't do school without it." And there may be some truth to that. This is one of the frustrating things I found out with blockers, is when you release something so they can do something for the school, it also gives them access to other things. And so you find yourself often in a catch-22. But we have to recognize, and we have to have our kids understand, that there are some things worse in life than getting a bad grade. And that, namely, is if we are lost in eternal hellfire. And we have to remember, and I'm all for good grades. Kids know that. I get upset when there's bad grades. And while it's all nice and important, God's not going to judge us on our parenting regarding how good our grades our kids got. But did we watch out for pitfalls and dangers? Did we train them in the way they should go? Remember what happened to Eli? God judged him and his household. And Samuel said, "Eli, because you restrained not your children." Parenting, we need to recognize that's part of our role, is a restraining role. To help them, to guide them. Not because we hate them, right? It's actually the opposite, because we love them. We love them. So that means parents need to be nosy, right? It's okay. Proverbs 29:15. What does it say? Proverbs 29, verse 15. The wise man says here, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. So parents, be nosy. Don't leave them to themselves, right? That's what we have to do. Here's your phone. Go ahead. Go on your merry way, right? Listen, they're your kids. Their safety, their soul is more important than their privacy. And if you don't look, then you don't know. The old saying goes, right? Don't trust, but verify. Verify. 1 Timothy 3, verse 4. Parents need to manage their house well. Right? That's one of the qualifications for a man to be an elder. You know, the kids can disqualify them because maybe he had not been the kind of role and guide he ought to have been. God wants us to have houses that are well with dignity and all reverence. Not just average kids or subpar kids, but superb kids. That is a journey. That is hard. It's work. We're to abstain from fleshly lusts. It's war against the soul. Parents need to help their kids do that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Again, it's a war, he said. It's a war. If you thought this was all a game, you were wrong. So we've got to fight against it. In Mark 9, verses 42 and 43. Let's read that. Mark 9. Verse 42. Jesus says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it'd be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were cast into the sea." Oh, we don't want our little ones to stumble. And we certainly don't want to be the cause for that as well. Those little ones need our protection. They need our guidance. They need our help. Verse 43 says, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire which shall never be quenched." Now, he speaks of hyperbole, but saying ultimately nothing's worth your soul. Even if you have to lose your hand in order to obtain heaven, then you do that. So my question to us as parents and to us as young folks as well, if we're to get rid of our hand, then how much more so the thing that the hand would hold, right? If this is a cause for stumbling, if it's something that's continually bringing us down the wrong path, then it makes sense for sure if you were to get rid of your hand, then you would get rid of the thing that it holds. And so, make sure the kids know the rules for the device, the computer, the phone. And if it's not upheld, then say goodbye. Let it go. You know, one thing that Dale Adams said was that he hears it all the time. He said, "I hear this all the time. Oh, I can't believe my sweet so-and-so would post something like that or say something. I can't believe I raised them better than that." Friends, the time is now to get over that. Any of our kids, mine included, can be tempted to do evil. They are not statues, but they are living and curious souls. And we have to prepare them for life. And like I said earlier in the lesson, age limits may give them time to mature, to set healthy habits in life, and not begin harmful addictions early in life. Now, this would have been really helpful if we had some other younger parents here, but there's alternatives to just the Apple iPhone. There's other companies like Gab or Trumi that have their smartphones and their apps, and they restrict a lot of the ones that I mentioned today in the lesson. And so there are abilities and technologies out there that may help along this way. All right, I need to stop, put a pin in it here, and we'll continue the lesson tonight as we kind of take a turn in the lesson and talk more about caught in the net of pornography and the damage that it's causing to so many souls and homes today. This lesson wasn't designed to teach one to become a child of God, but it does certainly place upon us the importance of recognizing how we are so different than the world, and that that is something that we're agreeing to when we decide to become a Christian. That's why Jesus calls it being born again, right? The first birth is into this world, you know, we're this physical world that we are in, and we then become touched by our surroundings, and at some point in our life, we choose to sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, in His great mercy and kindness, decided to give us a chance to be born again, to become a new person in Christ Jesus, where the old man is put away. If you repent and are baptized, then all your sins are washed away in the blood of the Lamb. Even the ones that we talked about this morning, they can be completely washed away. And you can be made new and whole in Christ. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. If there's any that need to submit to it, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?
His call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above.